Thank you very much, Seminary Chorus. What a privilege it is to have music. What a beautiful thing to have the gifts that God provides to each of us. And good morning to each of you. It's a privilege to be here in this auditorium. Brings back many memories as to the times when I used to sit where you're sitting, although I think the benches are different. Everything is rather different. It looks so much nicer than when we were here, but it's the same building and the same commitment to the precious Seventh-day Adventist message. I'm playing hooky from the Board of Trustees and made a little speech just as I was standing up to leave and will return there. Your dean was there also and slipped out so he could help start this meeting. They are discussing right at this very moment the transition of Griggs University to an alliance with Andrews University, a distance education, which is a very strong and growing field, and we believe that Griggs University and Andrews can partner very nicely for the future. But we will return there in a few moments, and I told them that although I value being with them as board members, this being my first day in a board meeting of Andrews University, that I very much value being with you also. So I've slipped out, and it's kind of like, you know, skipping out on class or something, but it, at least they know where I am. C'est vraiment intéressant, Frère Fortin, que l'année prochaine, le mois de juillet, je vais prêcher encore au Québec. Next July, I'm going to preach again at a camp meeting in Quebec. So that brings us full circle almost, I don't know how many years, almost 20 years. It's a privilege to be with you this morning. The Lord has a great mission for each of you. He has a place in this great proclamation of the three angels' messages. You're on a mission for Jesus. The distinctiveness of the Seventh-day Adventist mission is extremely important for you to understand and to internalize. Personally, I believe we are living in the very last days before Jesus' return. As Seventh-day Adventists, we do not predict and be wary of anyone who has it all figured out as to the exact day when Jesus is going to come. Only the Father knows that. But biblical prophecy and the spirit of prophecy tell us we are living in the very end of time. And if it was important in the past, it is even more important now that Seventh-day Adventists lift up Jesus in all of his power and beauty, that we lift up his righteousness, that we lift up his three angels' messages. Now, in doing that, you're going to be mocked, you're going to be derided, maligned, misquoted, marginalized. I don't care what you call it, the devil is going to be after you. But that's why you're here. That's why you are attending the Seventh-day Adventist Seminary, Theological Seminary at Andrews University, to better prepare yourselves, not for advancement, not for being able to debate in an academic way certain aspects of education. You are here to prepare yourselves through the power of the Holy Spirit for what lies ahead, the great proclamation during the latter rain of the Lord's great message to this earth. You need to fully comprehend that and understand it. Don't worry about being maligned and derided. Just lift up Jesus. Never give up your pastoral calling. Your understanding of who you are in terms of God's great mission for this church and for the world realize you're part of the great Advent movement. The 14th chapter of Revelation, the 18th chapter of Revelation, they need to become so familiar to you that you understand you are part of a unique called out people who must proclaim God's message with distinctiveness, in kindness, but with power. We have emphasized, as your dean has said, revival and reformation, a time in which we are to humble ourselves, to realize that, Lord, why are we still here? Something has held up your coming. We're told in the spirit of prophecy that the Lord wanted to come decades ago, but we're still here. We need to fulfill 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14, to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek God's face, to seek His word, to understand what He has in store for us as His remnant people. Now, you know, in this building, you're very busy with all kinds of classes. You're all extremely pressed in so many ways. And sometimes we become so busy at the General Conference, in other organizational entities, so busy in doing God's work that we forget to talk about and to testify about the Lord Jesus Christ. Could it be that in this building, you are more adept at discussing some fine-tuned, distinctive aspect of biblical prophecy than you are about talking about Jesus to your fellow students? Could it be that you carry a great cause for some particular social issue, and you are very adept at knowing how to present all of the arguments, and yet when it comes time to just share what Jesus did for you yesterday, it's not there? Maybe you are a 4.0 student, and you can even challenge the professors sometimes, but you don't really have that morning connection with Jesus. You know, in John 12:32, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." Jesus. Is it easier to debate about particular items than to really talk about Jesus? You know, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, Paul said, "For me to live is Christ." He further said in the second chapter of Philippians, verses 9 to 11, he talked about that incredible relationship of who Jesus is and how Jesus relates to him and to us. "Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." My brother-in-law, Don Vollmer, some of you may know who he is. He's a retired pastor now. He has a picture in his home of Christ hanging on the cross. And at the foot of the cross, there is a man humbly kneeling. And the inscription underneath that picture comes from the spirit of prophecy, and it says that man has reached his highest point when he is kneeling at the foot of the cross. I want to tell you, our true work at the General Conference, at Andrews University, in the classroom of the Seventh-day Adventist Theological Seminary, and in your heart and in my heart, the real work is to lift up Jesus, to point each other and others to Him, to speak of His goodness. I want to quote some interesting quotations from Spirit of Prophecy. From the book Evangelism, page 185. Christ crucified, Christ risen, Christ ascended into the heavens, Christ coming again should so soften, gladden, and fill the mind of the minister that he will present these truths to the people in love and deep earnestness. The minister will then be lost sight of. You know, we're supposed to be invisible people. When we're preaching, don't focus on the preacher, have people focus on Jesus. And so it says here, the minister will then be lost sight of, and Jesus will be made manifest. Lift up Jesus, you that teach the people. Lift him up in sermon, in song, in prayer. Let all your powers be directed to pointing souls, confused and bewildered, lost, to the Lamb of God. Another quotation from Selected Messages, Book 1, 155. The object of all ministry is to keep self out of sight and to let Christ appear. The exaltation of Christ is the great truth that all who labor in word and doctrine are to reveal. And one more little one from Evangelism. Just one sentence. Page 172, Evangelism. We need far less controversy and far more presentation of Christ. Why are you here? What's the purpose of your existence at the theological seminary and beyond when you get into the field? To lift up Jesus. Now, I'm in no way minimizing the distinctives of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I love this Adventist message. It is so powerful. It is so balanced. It is so logical. It is also incomprehensible in terms of God's great plan of salvation. We'll be studying it throughout eternity. And yet, it is so simple that a child can understand it. Now, that's something to ponder in one of your classes. So I'm not trying to diminish the distinctiveness of the Seventh-day Adventist message. But many times as ministers, we get so wrapped up in trying to define every little thing, and I believe, of course, in the 28 fundamental beliefs. But, you know, there are a lot of areas we still have a lot of opportunity to have personal understanding. That's the way the Seventh-day Adventist message is. And so we can get involved in all kinds of arguments, and yet we don't focus on the person who is the center of every single one of those 28 fundamentals, Jesus Christ. I'll tell you a little story. When I finished the seminary, well, you know, when you finish a degree, you're pretty excited and you think you know quite a lot. And my conference, Greater New York Conference, wonderful group that sponsored me to the seminary, and then they also sponsored me to Loma Linda University. At that time, there was a conjoint program. You could get MDiv and an MSPH, Master of Science in Public Health, excuse me, at the same time. And I was very appreciative of that and went to Loma Linda. It was probably the best thing in my life because I met my wife there. And she is a marvelous person. She is just a precious, precious lady, Nancy. She is a great spiritual force in my life. And I will see her tonight. She is taking care of two of our little grandchildren. So that'll be an exciting thing also to see them. But getting back to our story here. I went through the MDiv, I went through the public health masters, I went to pastor on the south shore of Long Island in a little town called Patchogue. And interestingly, the editor who has just retired of Ministry Magazine, Nick Saddlemeyer, he was my district pastor. And in any case, I went there to pastor as a single pastor. And later, about a year later, I got married. When we got married, I moved us from a little apartment that was right next to the church to a very nice rental right on the seashore. We didn't buy it, but it was a nice little rental place where people would come for the summer. So we had this place for 9 months, and then we were going to have to do something for the summer. Right next to us was a neighbor about the same age. Fine young fellow. We got to talking outside, had a good experience in discussing different things. And he, it was revealed, was a Roman Catholic. Very fine young fellow, about the same age. And we were talking about spiritual things, and he was so taken in by that that he invited us to come and eat supper. Excuse me. So we ate supper, went over to his home, and it was right next door to our place. And then we started to talk. Well, I don't want you to make the same mistake that I made. I had just come from the seminary and from, you know, public health, and I was filled with lots of knowledge. We sat there after supper, and we started to talk. And I began to explain to him and to his wife everything about the entire great controversy theme, everything from before Eden, all the way through the children of Israel, all the way to Christ's crucifixion, to the Dark Ages, all the way through current events, and telling him about the mark of the beast and the lake of fire and everything. I mean, we didn't leave there until about 11 o'clock that evening, and he patiently and kindly listened to it all, I'm sure, being fascinated by some of it. You want to know something? They never invited us again. Somehow, in my presentation to him and his wife, I had forgotten to introduce him in the warmest Seventh-day Adventist way to the one who has made all of that possible, Jesus Christ. Lift him up. Steps to Christ, page 72. Talk and think of Jesus. Let self be lost in him. Put away all doubt. Dismiss your fears. Rest in God. Lift up Jesus. In the country of Armenia, I had the great privilege of serving in the Euro-Asia Division. It was a very interesting time from 1992 to 96. Communism had just fallen. It was so exciting. So many miracles took place. God blessed in a miraculous way. In that particular division is this country of Armenia. Armenia is very earthquake prone. A story came out of that particular country about a father who was taking his young son to school. He took him to school, and the little son was so apprehensive, so hesitant. Many of you will know this experience if you have children. They don't want to leave you. Maybe you've had the experience. You cling to your parents. But the father told the little fellow, "Don't worry, I'll come back to get you." So finally the little fellow relented, and he went into the school. And as the father was moving down the boulevard and the road, one of those terrible earthquakes took place. He turned around to see the building that his little son was in completely collapsed. He rushed back to that building, yelling and screaming and crying for his little son, but to no avail. He began to tear away at the ripped concrete and the steel that had formed that building, trying to get to his son. He enlisted the help of other people around him, and people for a time helped him. And then after a period of time, the police said, don't waste your time. You're never going to be able to get to any of those children in the building. It's a lost cause. No, we've got to get there. I told my son I would come back to get him. Don't waste your time. And slowly, people drifted off because they lost hope. They lost heart. But this father had hope. For 36 hours, that father never stopped digging. He kept digging and pulling away with his hands the crumpled pieces of cement and concrete. And finally, after he had labored for 36 hours, yelling all the time, "Son, son, are you there? Are you there?" Finally, he heard a small voice, a little voice that said, "Father, I knew you would come. And there are 14 more children trapped here with me." And of course, with that renewed hope, they were able to free those precious young children. But that father had bloodied his hands. He had hurt himself getting to his son. But he said, "I will come back to get you." My fellow seminarians, and I include myself in the seminary, because once a seminarian, you're always one. Jesus has promised to come back to get us. He has bloodied his hands for us. He hung on the cross for you and for me. Lift up Jesus. Let people be drawn to him. Let your own heart be drawn to him. Christ is coming soon, and he calls for each of you to recommit your life to this precious Seventh-day Adventist message, this unique calling to proclaim the three angels' messages, which focuses upon Christ and upon the true worship of God and calling people back to him. It focuses upon the true righteousness of Jesus. Remember this beautiful quotation from Testimonies, Volume 7, page 138. Seventh-day Adventists have been chosen by God as a peculiar people, separate from the world. He has made them his representatives and has called them to be ambassadors for him in the last work of salvation. The greatest wealth of truth ever entrusted to mortals, the most solemn and fearful warnings ever sent by God to man, have been committed to them to be given to the world. Do you accept that challenge? Do you accept the fact that Jesus is coming soon? As I mentioned, we are emphasizing revival and reformation. We want to go home. We want to be with the Lord. And in revival and reformation, that is not something that the General Conference Committee can legislate and it happens. None of us can order it. None of us can mechanistically create revival and reformation. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. But we can humble ourselves. We can make ourselves open to be true channels of power from heaven. For the latter rain is going to fall, and I hope it's going to fall soon. The Seventh-day Adventist Church has a unique message to lift up Jesus, to proclaim this precious word and focus upon it, to be aided and guided by the Spirit of prophecy, to pray earnestly for the Lord's empowerment, and to carry out our mission. The mission that is outlined in Scripture and emphasized as to how it's going to happen in the very last days. In the book of Joel chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, Hosea chapter 6, the latter rain, the Holy Spirit power. Selected Messages, book 1, tells us that a revival of true godliness is our greatest and most urgent need. To do this ought to be our first work. And on that same page, 121, Selected Messages, Book 1, page 121, there are about 6 pages in there, you ought to read it, about revival. On that same page, it says that revival cannot be in any way expected except for prayer. I hope that the Seventh-day Adventist Theological Seminary is not just a place of quality, professional, higher learning in theological aspects, but that it is truly a place of humility and of prayer, of focusing upon the Word of God, on lifting up Jesus. At our annual council, which ended just a few days ago, we had a tremendous experience. I've shared it with a number of you. And we spent time in prayer, in singing, in testimonies, a little bit unusual for an annual council where we normally focus upon policy and strategic planning and all of that. We had a lot of that, or some of that, but the Lord blessed us in an unusual way, and people were just so thrilled that we're focusing upon what really matters. Dwight Nelson provided us a beautiful challenge 2 weeks ago this morning, Tuesday morning. He spoke twice, Monday and Tuesday, and on Tuesday, 2 weeks ago this morning, he challenged us, all of us as leaders from around the world. He said, leaders, you delegate many things. That's what a leader is supposed to do if they're going to be efficient. But there is one thing you cannot delegate. You cannot delegate revival and reformation. You have to lead out. And as pastors, as Bible workers, as people who are going to go into work in chaplaincy or whatever it is, you must lead out in revival and reformation. Dwight told us, you need to stand up and stand out. I remember that Tuesday morning, 2 weeks ago, he was praying for us at the end of his sermon. I just felt impressed to get up and go to the mic, and I made an appeal to the world leaders by category, division presidents. Are you willing to stand up and stand out? And those 13 presidents stood up. And more people stood up as we called their names. This morning as we close, and just before Jesse prays for us, are you willing to stand up and stand out? Are you willing to be a leader in revival and reformation, preparing God's people through the power of the Holy Spirit for the latter rain? Doctoral students, I assume there may be a few. You have some who are off campus, many who are off campus, but let me just ask, are there any doctoral students here? If there are you willing to stand up and stand out? If so, would you stand right now?
Amen.
Amen. MDiv second year students, are you willing to stand up and stand out? Amen. What about the first year MDiv students? Are you willing to be proclaimers of God's word? There are other disciplines and other classes, others who are here. Are you willing to stand up and stand out for Jesus? Faculty, are you willing to stand up and stand out for Jesus? I want to join you in committing myself to humbly placing myself before the Lord and asking Him to work through you and through me so that God can truly do what He's wanted to do for decades, and that is to finish His work on earth, so that we can look up and see Him appearing in that cloud of glory and say, this is the God we've waited for. And He'll look down and say, well done, good and faithful pastors and church workers and lay people and everyone. I remember when you stood in the seminary chapel and committed yourself to standing up and standing out. And through you, I have helped others to do the same. enter into the joy of your Lord. What a day that will be. And by God's grace, it will be soon. Jesse, please lead us in prayer.
Our Father, Alpha and Omega, King of kings and Lord of lords, we come to you today, humbled, with our hearts open, our minds open, at your feet, ready. We are ready. God, we are ready to lift you up, Jesus. The same way that we have been transformed today, this morning, that we may not leave this chapel unchanged, but that may we be a light to this world. May we be a light to this campus here in Berrien Springs, here in Michigan, in North America, and the entire world. May we claim your victory. May we be filled with your Holy Spirit to go out and preach your message, to go out and make that revolution that you are ready for, God, because we want to go home and we are ready. Oh God, Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice, and help us every day to lift you up, Jesus, to lift up the cross. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
As we're preparing to leave, can you just sing this song with me? The splendor of our King. We have this hope to look forward to because he has done great things and will continue to do great things. The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, and all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? Oh, we'll see. How great is our God? Can you sing that one more time with me? Oh, how great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? Oh, we'll see. How great is our God? Why is he great? Because he has a name that's above every name. Name above all name. Worthy of our praise, and my heart will sing. How great is our God? Can you join that in? Say that again. Name above all names. Name above all names. You are worthy of our praise, and my heart will sing. How great is our God? How great is our God? How great? How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? Oh, we'll see. How great. How great is our God.
Amen. Go in peace.